Just feel the shift out of movement, out of anxiousness, out of activity, into group energy, into group relaxation, into group consciousness, drinking in this feeling of loving presence. Take about 30 more seconds just to do that. Enjoy that. Just to enjoy that. And when you feel ready, you can slowly open your eyes. And Janet and Rosie, if you can bring yourself onto camera, that would be helpful. Lynn, if you can get some lights, and Mary Lynn, so we can see you guys, that would be really helpful.
Do you want to make me the co-host? And then I can, if anybody needs to be muted or anything, I can help you.
Sure. Let me find how to do that again.
If you click next to my name, it should say like more.
Yes. Okay, we're good. Okay, so hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's so wonderful to see you all. Rosie, we just did a very brief check-in with everybody. Do you want to just touch in for a moment and say hello and just kind of said what you are hoping to get from this class? So you just need to unmute yourself.
Sorry, guys. it's storming out here. The internet keeps coming in and out, so we'll see if I can hang on this time. Anyway, what I hope to get from this class, I think probably the biggest thing is, you know, still not sure where I'm at with wanting to, you know, take this further, is come in. It's just been awesome in communicating with people and understanding and whatever. So, I mean, if that can get any better, I'm good.
Great. Thanks, Rosie. Hi, Dorothy. Yay, you found your way here. We just did a brief check-in with everybody. Do you want to just do a quick check-in with us?
Sure. Everything's going really well. Happy to be back with the group.
Great. Thank you. Nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so a couple reminders before we launch in. First of all, how many of you felt yourself shift energetically just from that little bit of grounding and breathing and pausing? Okay. So important. So one of the first teachings I want to give you or remind you of today, and let me just adjust this blind so you can see me better. I want to encourage you all to do that with your clients. I want to encourage you to pause them and drop them down, center themselves and yourself in your session. That's going to help a lot, because one of the things that's really challenging is to move people from their head into their whole being, into their emotions, into their aliveness, into their sense of themselves. And so if you start the session right off the bat with just something as simple as what we just did, but you can do it in your own way, then that's great. Just take a pause and do it together and help them to shift and, you know, create a ritual so that they know every time they meet with you, you're going to start the session off with, even if it's literally just 1 minute of transitional meditation experience to help them center and ground, okay? So a couple logistics I want to talk about and get them kind of out of the way first before we go into content. Remember that these are confidential client cases that we're talking about in this class. You may know some of the people that you see pop up. right? Because we're drawing upon our community. You know, we're drawing upon the INE community for a lot of these cases. It is not appropriate for you to casually, when you run into them at Shine or in another class, say, "Hey, I saw your session. It was great." No, 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 no. Absolutely forbidden. So I really want to make that crystal clear. It is confidential that you are even a participant in this class. You may not discuss these cases with anyone outside of this class ever. So this is a practice of containment right here. You don't get to have casual conversation with them. You don't get to acknowledge them. If you've never met them before and then you meet them at a conference, you don't get to say, "Hey, you look familiar," you know. Just keep it to yourself. This is really important. They will feel very, very violated, and rightfully so. People are being extremely disclosing, very forthcoming in these sessions, and we want to have a safe, supportive space for them to do that. Is that really crystal clear? I want a hand up for everybody. Is that a vow of silence around this? Okay. Really super, super important. After you watch this case that each of us send to each other, please delete it. Delete it. After the class and we review, you can watch it more than once if you want to, but once we review it in our class, delete it. So it's again protected from anybody else, you know, coming across it. Thank you very much for that. Okay. We're going to start on time each class. We're going to end on time. So I want to just remind us to please not multitask, to give 100% focus to each other, to yourself, as we do this work together in our group. A few other just general reminders. Transpersonal energy healing. You know, this was an interesting point that you kind of brought up, and, you know, we might touch on it more later, Janet, but you said your client just came from therapy. I want to make it really clear to all of you and for you to make really clear to your clients. Transpersonal energy healing is not psychotherapy. It is not psychotherapy. And that's why you have them read and sign that release, and why it's important for you to keep a copy of that signed release and for you to have that signed release before you do the work with them, so that they really have an understanding of what this is and what this is not. Don't feel that you have to compete with a psychotherapist or a therapist if you're doing this work. This is very much body-mind work. 95%, if not more, of psychotherapy is not body-mind oriented, unfortunately. But the people who do body-mind work, who are therapists, they're really excellent with that. And they are most of them are not working with the energetics. So these are just some reminders for all of you to know and to distinguish for your clients should that issue come up. Just remind them this is not therapy. This is, you could say it's a kind of body-mind therapy, but it's not psychotherapy. And it takes, it works with consciousness, it works with energy, and it takes us quickly to root cause of this, what's underneath the energy of our beliefs. It's not our beliefs, it's the energy of our beliefs. Okay, say that with me. It's not our beliefs, it's the energy behind or the energy of our beliefs. Okay, that's a big distinction. That's why you keep hearing me say, I don't care about the story. I care about what's behind the story. Okay, what's their experience of the story? Okay, I'm going to do logistics first. I'm going to come back to some of these other notes in a minute. All of you should have, I think most of you did, email me your survey questionnaire. If you haven't, please be sure to do that. And I also, as I was reading them, I thought that your surveys would be super helpful for Toni and her class, really good input for her to help create her curriculum to meet your needs. So If you are willing to share your survey that you've already written with her, please make a note to email it to her, because I think it would be super helpful for her to read these surveys. They were really informative for me, really helpful for me. And some of what you addressed around, you know, what you, your professional logistical goals, I will deal with, but more of it she will be able to deal with you in her module 9. So please do feel free to email that to her. And she's willingly, graciously accepted to take the time to read them. So I'm very happy about that. A few logistics. We will dedicate about 15 minutes each in conversation about your case in class. So when you've signed up on your Google Doc for what class you're going to present at, and whatever class you're going to present at, we'll dedicate about 15 minutes of time for conversation around your particular case. We will not be watching your case during class time. So I am hoping that all of you did watch at least the 10-minute segments that Janet and Lynn Rose sent to you. And I've also asked them, and I would like to ask you also, if you would send in your accompanying weekly check-in form for just that session, your responses to that session along with a link. I think that would be also really helpful for us to read your weekly check-in form as well as watch your 10-minute snippet. And again, if you want to watch more than 10 minutes, if you have the time of what the person has sent, that's fine too. That's up to you with regards to your own time commitments. But please send that weekly check-in form. In a minute, Lynn is going to walk us through. She's created something to make it much easier. I know some of you were having struggles with how to fill in that weekly check-in form. So Lynn simplified something magically for us, and in a minute we'll have her walk us through how to do that. So take a deep breath. I know this is a lot of logistics that I'm kind of going through here. You can re-listen to this, replay of this if you need it, but I think hopefully things will make sense. I had neglected to include this in the syllabus, but I sent it to you a little bit after the fact, that you also are going to have a homework assignment, which was not on your original syllabus, of attending one 12-step meeting. 12-step meeting, meaning there, and I sent you a series of options of 12-step meetings to attend. It could be an open Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. It could be an Al-Anon meeting. You didn't get that, Michelle? You didn't get that? None of you got that? Oh, okay. Don't know why. All right, I'll make sure. So this is a new assignment, and I'll make sure to resend that 12-step meeting assignment. You're also going to have to do that in Tony's class, too. Tony and I have been in conversation about this assignment. It's super important. And I'll just tell you briefly and quickly the reason for it. The reason for it is because we live in a very highly addictive culture. If it isn't food addiction or alcohol addiction or drug addiction, it's relationship addiction, it's some kind of addiction that many, many, many of your clients are going to be struggling with. And it's really important that clients have enough support to be able to heal. What I love about 12-step program work is it's free. And it's pretty much everywhere all over the world. And it's a great resource of support. And I want you to be able to refer out to this really important option for your clients and to at least know when it might be appropriate to refer them to a meeting as a resource of support. So this is the reason behind this assignment, and I'll be getting more information to you about it soon, so not to worry about that. There was some confusion about whether or not a quiz was going to be required at the end of this module. No, there will be no quiz required at the end of module 6 or 7, but there will be in all your other modules for certification. A few other logistics. The other assignments that you have been given, in your case study, I gave you a list of questions to answer in your case study for each session as you go, right? I don't need you to be rigid about those questions. These are suggested things for you to address in each session that might be helpful to you. And they are questions for you to write up, to use as a guideline for a write-up in your final case summary that you send to me. I do not need you to send me any of that information in the meantime. The only thing I want in the meantime is your weekly, after your one-page weekly report check-in form, which Lynn will walk us through in a minute. But I would recommend that you answer these questions about your case as you go, and that after you do session one, take some time as soon as possible. Don't schedule another appointment back-to-back right after you do your client session. Give yourself a half an hour, and that's really all you'll need to fill out your weekly check-in form and to answer those questions while the session is fresh in your mind. Most of you are going to be in a slightly altered state when you're doing this work. When you sit down to then do your left brain work and to write about it, you'll take your understanding of what happened in your session a quantum level deeper if you write about it right away. Does that make sense? Okay, you want to get the most out of this case, then write your notes right away after the session. March 1st is your final deadline for your case to be turned in. Please jot that down somewhere. It's in your syllabus, but if you want to make a note of it in your calendar, I suggest that you do that now. I also suggested that you make all your six appointments with your client, if at all possible, right off the bat, okay, as much as you can. If I have time, I'll watch as much of the recording of what you send me as possible to see how you're doing. And if I have time, I will contact you before the class to talk to you personally about how you did and what happened in your session. I don't want to guarantee that. If I don't have time, then we'll do it in class. But I am going to try to do that because I was so excited after I got the two the two videos from Lynn Rose and Janet, and I just wanted to talk to you about, you know, what you were doing right away. So I'll try to do that for all of you if I can. Let's see, what else do we have here? Remember to please, I would like to ask that you please send all of your homework to me as Word documents, not Google documents, not PDFs, Word docs. Please send everything as a Word doc. The reason is then I can just type right into it my comments or responses to the things that you write about and send it back to you. It makes it much less time consuming for me to answer 16 people's, you know, homework. And I'd like to be able to give each of you as much as possible my personal attention on this really important stage of your work. You're in a really important stage of your work right now, and I want to support you in integrating as much as possible. So please do me that and send it as Word docs, only your weekly check-in form and also your final case summary. Remember that all of your homework to copy Jan Chamberlain, because she's recording it. So if you want credit, then you better remember to copy her, because she's taken that down. Okay, she's our keeper of the books. Okay.
Laura?
Let's see.
Can you hear me?
I think I've got everything. Oh, yes. And just one other little logistic. For those of you who are kind of new to using Zoom this way, if you record to the cloud, if you check that option in your settings to record to the cloud, then you will receive from Zoom an automatic link of share this link. You'll get three links actually from Zoom after every session that you do. One will say, use this link as a download. One will say, share with others. And one will say, I can't remember, maybe it was just two links. But the one that says share with others, super easy. All you have to do is copy and paste that link into the email to send to everybody when you're ready to share your video. And then just write in there what 10 minutes you want us to watch. Okay. So, Lynn, do you want to give our a little lesson on this, how to use the weekly check-in form?
Is it going to be a Word doc that she's doing?
No, this will be something else.
So you said we need to send you Word docs.
Yeah, so you're right. That's not correct any longer because Lynn created with the final case summary. It'll be a Word doc.
Yeah. We're going to use this as a template to see how it works, and who knows, you know, in the world of technology, nothing is permanent. So I'm going to share my screen to show you what we're going to be sending out to you.
You're blind.
All right. So let me know if you can see my screen.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is all it is. Some of you may be familiar with this because Dr. Rita Marie has been starting to use these Google Forms. So you might have a comfort level there. So all you're going to do is put your name in here. You just click on it, and you write your name in there. Is that you?
No.
Is that you? There was a loud crashing noise, so I wasn't.
I've got to adjust my window.
So I get to mute you while I'm doing this. Anyway, this looks a little different because I have edit power. So, but all you do is you go in, you type your name in there. If this is session 1, 2, 3, whatever, the date, and it will automatically come up with a place for you to choose a date, the first name of your client, what's going on, and so this is you, it'll just flow. It'll just, as you type, it's just adding to it. And the same thing with all of these. It's like the only line, but as you type, it will just expand to take everything that you want. And then when you get to all the end of it, there will be a submit button. And you just click on that, and we get the responses. We get emailed with that.
So with these, Lynn, are we going to be able to see these responses we sent once we've sent them? Or are we going to have to do double work and keep them for ourselves if we want our copy and then put it in here?
You should get an email with your copy, but I've made a note because, again, sometimes I think I see things just because of who I am as an admin. So I'll double check. That's a great question.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Will we use the same form each time from your link?
Yep.
Okay. So it's not going to be anywhere we can go access it.
We have a spreadsheet that we put that the answers show up on. And again, it's much like what you've seen with Dr. Rita Marie, but only Laura right now will have access to that. But, and again, that's something she and I can talk about to see if she wants everybody to have access to that or not.
It's a good question. Let's think on that. And we're going to try this for a week. And my apologies that, you know, we're really trying to, you know, make this as easy as possible for everybody. If it doesn't work, we'll just go back to the old, you know, Word doc submission. So thank you, Lynn, for that lesson.
Do we have an example of this form already?
We'll be sending an email out with it. I just wanted to share it with you, get everybody's input. Because we had heard from several of you that were having issues with the submitting this information via the Word doc, and it was lots of extra work. And so because I had been becoming familiar with these Google Forms, Dr. Rita Marie, I just thought, let's give this a shot and see, because it seemed to work out pretty well with her stuff.
Okay. So, Lynn, can we come out of the screen share now, because I can't access my PowerPoint while we're there. Okay, thank you.
Before we move into the next part, thank you for all this information. Is there going to be a recap? One thing I want to – I personally have felt a little overwhelmed. There have been a lot of emails coming with a lot of repeat form attachments, but then changes in the form attachments. So I'm having to study the emails with the attachments to see what's the latest and greatest. Will there be a place to look at all of these in one place, or what's the best recommendation for getting the right, latest, current, and complete forms and information?
That's a great question. I know we have talked about having a Google Drive, and maybe that's something we can consider, that they just go and all the Google Drive stuff is right there, and they just have to grab it.
That's a great suggestion, and yeah, and thank you, Michelle, for bringing that up. Let's give us a week to work on that, and we'll try to get that for you so everything is in one place, because, yes, there's a lot of information to track in this course, and it's a little bit daunting at the moment, but I think we're going to find a rhythm that's going to make sense after this first session, because everything is going to be pretty systematic class to class once we're set up.
Thank you.
So thank you for that.
And then okay. I see Jill has her hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, are we to record the whole session that we do with the person, or just 10 minutes of our session?
What I would suggest that you do is record the whole session and tell us which 10 minutes you want us to watch.
Okay.
Because then whoever has the time can watch more of the session. Okay? Because we're all learning from each other. And I'll watch as much of your session as I can. I may hopscotch around a little bit, but that will, I think, be the best way, the easiest way for us to do that.
You know, with Janet, I know she said that for people only listen to that particular section because her client requested that. So unless, I just wanted to throw that out there, unless your client has specifically only that time, not the other. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lynn, for that refresh. Yeah.
Thank you.
Dorothy, you had a question?
Yeah. Thank you.
I only received one of the videos, and Janet Brooks said that she had difficulty sending it to me from the group addresses. So she just emailed it separately. So I question whether I'm properly in the group information, because I'm not part of Dr. Rita Marie's group. So that might be some issues. And today, I couldn't even read the original Zoom line until I received a second email from Lynn. I started my access at 11:50, and even the phone line cut me off. So I don't know if...
No, that was my faux pas. I thought I had set it up, I thought under mine, and I set it up under Dr. Rita Marie's, and so that was... But I've checked the calendar. That should not be an issue. We can use the original one from now on.
The original one?
Okay. We'll resend the original so it's not confusing for next time. Right. And we'll also double check your email address to make sure it's correct in the system, Dorothy. So,
can you hear me, Dorothy? Here's what we have just real quickly. dhalston@sbcglobal.net.
Yes.
Okay. Good. We've got it right now. Good.
Okay, good.
And the other question I have where I'm confused is the only session that needs to be videoed is the session that I will submit the day of my presentation.
Correct.
I'm not videoing all six.
That's up to you. If you would like to, you're welcome to videotape them, but they would, you know, if you're they can be very helpful for your client to it's a nice gift for your client to be able to review the session for them, but just to submit only one, yes.
Okay, but what I'm supposed to do every week, I'm supposed to have a session with a client over the next week, coming weeks, and then every week I send you my summary of that session.
Correct. After each of your six sessions, whenever they are, you send your report.
Okay.
Your six session report. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I don't have a client. They bailed.
So
I had two lined up and they bailed. My husband's willing, but I don't know if that's so.
No, not a good plan. Talk to Lynn.
She's already talked to me. I've reached a few people. So, yep.
Okay, good. All right. Are we done with logistics? Have we got all the logistics now? Rosie, you got a question?
I have information that I lose or I don't get. And a lot of times, most of the ladies, work with Rita Marie. And so they have, I guess, a place that they go to. And I know that Lynn refers a lot to, you may be familiar with this with Rita Marie. But since I'm not a part of that, sometimes things you guys are talking about that we should have gotten or did get or whatever, going over my head. And I'm thinking, I go back and I check my spam on email and different things. And, I just feel some things like right now you guys were talking about a survey that I don't know what you're talking about. A couple of other things. I tried to get into this. I know that Lynn, we spoke about this when we were there and you said that because we had done, I think module 4 or whatever, that now I was part of Rita Marie's thing, but I can't find me. I can't get in there. It keeps asking me for a password. And so then I try and reset and it just will not let me in. So sometimes I just feel like I'm kind of lost and I'm not sure who to direct these questions to. Okay.
Okay.
So I'll talk to you after.
So what I'm just going to say is, I'm happy to set up a time, 20 minutes or so with anybody who's having tech issues.
We'll just
do a screen share. And if there's enough people that reach out to me, I might just do a group.
Thank you. Like a little training. That would be wonderful. So give us a couple of days to set that up, get that set up. Rosie, we will attend to that. So I want to move on. It's already 11:45 because we've got a lot to cover. And thanks for bringing that up so we can get everybody up to speed. Okay, deep breath. We're going to change the white space a little bit, change up the energy a little bit. That was a lot of left brain logistics. So I want to come back to just before, we're going to do a very quick PowerPoint review. And I just want to remind everybody that this process, I guess a general note that I would make to all of you is from watching the two videos, thank you, Janet and Lynn Rose, that this process is really way easier than what I think we're already making it. Ironically, it's easier than that. You do not have to work that hard. So I want to come into sharing my screen, and we'll go to the PowerPoint. And let me get rid of this stuff. And it's not going to be perfect, but that's okay. All right, so how to help clients boldly transform. So remember, we start with establishing ourselves in a loving state of being. So that's why we did that centering, grounding work at the start of our session, right? So we spent in our last workshop and training, we spent the first full day or two really working on just establishing our centeredness in our state of being and cultivating these spiritual qualities. Remember that if you are in your left brain here, if you are fully just focused in your left brain, then you're going to be leaving out the resonance, the harmonic resonance of the healing frequencies that make all the difference with regards to energy, all right? Humility, forgiveness, compassion, purity, integrity, gratitude, innocence, love. These are all in your book, right? All in your exceptional practitioner book. What gets in the way? Our discomfort with the unknown, intellectualizing, insecurity, other things. So these are all the things that where our own work lives. They show up because we're not done with our own personal work. What stops us from connecting with somebody, from making a heart-to-heart connection? What our insecurities are, our discomfort with not, you know, having an outcome already aligned. You know, the good news is this is a low-pressure situation. You're donating your service to them in this practice. So I want you just to think of when you're doing your case study, I want you to think of just like you're being in class. And this is your lab, just a continuation of your lab experiment. The stakes are low. They're not paying for this. This is your training opportunity. And they are getting something out of it. How to know when you're triggered. Okay, in your book, how many of you are liking this Becoming Naturally Therapeutic book? Pretty awesome little read, huh? So nice and simple. Toxic relating. The more spiritual growth we have, the sneakier and more subtle our defenses become. The more spiritual growth we have, the sneakier and more subtle our defenses become. So this is why we're still always working on our own stuff. How does it show up? Acting out of our own unmet needs. This is really big, right? And I talked about this briefly in the last class, but our own unmet needs will show up with our clients if we don't take them elsewhere. Having the last word or giving solutions, needing clients' approval or the clients to like me, rationalization, justification, fears, insecurities, being passive-aggressive, withdrawing. Remember the exercise we did, when I am in defense, the way I express it is. So just knowing when you are in defense and when that happens for me, when I'm doing a session, I just put a check mark in my brain. Ooh, look at me feeling defensive right now, or feeling insecure right now, or feeling needy right now, or feeling lost right now. I'm going to bring this to my therapist, to my healer. I'm going to bring this to my next supervision session, because I just noticed myself in reaction. Okay? What does the client's defense evoke in you? Insecurity, fear, overcompensation. Okay, when your client gets defensive, do you go into, you know, trying harder? What happens in you? Again, just put a little check mark and notice it, and take a deep breath and take a pause and relax. So when you're in defense, when you notice yourself in defense, just take a pause. Because it's going to happen. You're going to intellectualize. You're going to get insecure. You're going to overcompensate. It's going to happen. So just take a pause and try to notice it and make a little internal check mark about it. Okay, I'm going to bring this to the next supervision session. Connecting. This is the most important thing in your session. Janet and Lynn did Janet, you especially had a lovely way that you made open-hearted connection with this person. Lynn Rose, you were a little bit in and out with that, I think, when you were working hard. But when you listened, it's interesting, because when you were in a listening mode with her, you were so lovely in connection with her. So we want to match the client's frequency, their rhythm, their vocal intensity, at least to initially make contact with them, maybe name the white space. The next step is not knowing, right? So just to back up for a minute, being is step one, right? We just establish ourselves in state of being. Step two is connecting with our client, listening with an open heart, naming the white space. Step three is, I'm not going to know what on earth is going on. That's the next step. If you're in a not knowing place, you're doing good. Most of us get really insecure when we don't know what's going to happen next. We're thinking, oh, shit, I have no clue what to say right now. I have no clue what to do right now. Oh, my God, let me think of a new question to ask really quick. No, just hang out. Hang out in the not knowing. Just repeat back That's all you need to do is repeat back and highlight their glimmers of resilience when you repeat back. When they say, oh, I feel so insecure, I have no idea what's going on, you just repeat back, oh, you feel so insecure and you don't know what's going on. What is that like? One of the things that came out in my conversation with Janet and watching hers is she asked a lot of why questions. We do not want to ask why questions. Almost never ask a why question. Ask lots of what questions. What is that like? What did that feel like? What are you noticing now? We don't want to ask why questions. We're not interested in psychoanalysis. We're interested in what. What are you feeling as you talk about that? What's showing up right now? Then the next thing is we're tracking. We're following the unwinding of consciousness. It moves from conscious to subconscious, reason to emotion, emotion to sensation, and then integration at the end with social engagement. If you get really stuck with intellectualizing with your client or them with you, tell them, have them close their eyes for a minute. Let's just close your eyes and tune into your body. What are you noticing? Remember to turn their reflections into questions. If they say, I'm really terrified of failing. Oh, what's it like to fail? Tell me more about that. Not when did you fail or why did you fail, right? Just turn those reflections into questions into what questions. Okay, and we'll talk about heart homework at the end. Okay, so this is just a little bit of a recap for you. Any questions on that so far? Okay. Let me see if there's anything else I want to touch in on. Okay, so how is everybody doing? Do we need a little bit of a break? Do we need like a 5-minute break before we go on? Are you guys okay to just launch right into one of the cases? We're good? Okay, all right. So, Janet, you are up. Tell us about what happened for you. We've got about 15 minutes to give you to talk about this. Tell us what this was like for you and what you learned from it or what you'd like to share and anything you would like to talk about with the segment that we viewed. Anything that you want to share here.
After I watched it for about the third or fourth time last night, you get past the, what did my hair look like? Was I talking right? How was the lighting behind you? You get all past that. What is she doing? I realized that I was thrown when she said she'd just come from her therapist. I forgot to turn on the recording because she had said that, and I got a little shaken. And she was drained. She was exhausted. I know now to tell people to plan this when it's not after maybe a doctor's appointment or something that they've just had to run home and sit down and be with. So I learned that part. I also learned when I watched it again that the grounding that we did at first was just not deep enough for me. And I fell into my pattern, and I struggled with in and out of pattern all the way through the session. So when I asked the questions that were appropriate, that worked, and the feedback was good, I was being the good question person, sitting here just reflecting. When I fell into my pattern, I found that I was commiserating with her mother's dying because my sister died of cancer. I started being in it. I wanted to get into her bubble with her. I wanted her bubble to be really nice for all of us. And I had so much trouble pulling back. And with lack of experience, I didn't know or recognize that I could stop and reground both of us.
Mm. I love that you named that, and that's something you can use next time.
Yeah. By about 25, 30 minutes in, I was exhausted. I was scanning my notes constantly looking for the next question to ask. And I thought, I said that one three times. I said that one again. I said that. So then I fell into my pattern. And then the why started coming out instead of the what's, because my repetition of learning hadn't progressed enough to default to the what's. So all in all, I felt that as novice and as not as well as I wanted it to go, I turned off the record actually before she was through talking. And she told me she felt better having finished with me than she had with her therapist.
Wow.
Her therapist had given her a laundry list of things to do every day. She has enough to do. We just chatted. Not as well as we will next time, where I will be more listening and reflecting. But she felt good, and she was smiling more, and she appeared to be a little more energized when we got through instead of drained. So it's an amazing process, even when you kind of get more than half of it all wrong. It still seems to work.
Yeah. So I love everything you shared. And yes, it's so true. I mean, just even the connection, feeling heard. I felt you were really attentive to her the whole time. In such a lovely, supportive way. And she felt that. So even though it stayed quite intellectual, it's still, there was something, I saw the shift happen in her by the end. She felt heard. She felt seen, at least in some capacity, right? And so that's great. Okay, so I want to share a couple of my thoughts with all of you about, and I already spoke with Janet about everything that I'm going to be sharing with you, but I want to bring these points out because I think they're helpful teaching points. And I think you named just now yourself quite a few of them, Janet, and I love that you caught yourself in pattern, that you were able to recognize, wow, I'm in pattern. I'm in my, you know, love pattern, merging pattern, trying to get into her bubble with her. That you named that so clearly, because it's going to be super helpful. It is kind of an interesting thing to be connected and compassionate, but not merge. You know, it's a delicate line to draw, and it's not always so black and white. So the main thing is that. The main thing I want to say to you is about trusting the simplicity of the reflecting back. And a lot of what got lost was the importance of reflecting back. She said a lot of really important things that did not get reflected back. And that would have, if you can trust that when you reflect back, and all of you, please just reflect back and then ask, how was it for you to hear me say that? That's all you need to do. How was it for you to hear me reflect that back for you? You don't have to pretend you're not reflecting. You don't have to try to use different words. Just how was it for you to hear me say that? Because what I want to point out to all of you is while you are reflecting back to them, you can't see it, but their brain is going, did I say that? Oh, wow, that's what I said? They are processing deeply. If you launch into another question too quickly, you cut that process. You stop that process from happening. You impede that process from happening. You block that process from happening. They can't process. They can't drop down into their feeling state because you have gone on to the next thing, and they have to stay right up here into intellectual land. They can't drop down. But something really important is going on when you reflect back. And the interesting thing is, as you do that, then, and don't worry if you don't reflect back exactly. Who cares? Get it close enough. Because that gives them the time to, how many times I've heard, hundreds if not thousands of times, I've heard clients say, did I really say that? Is that what I said? And they have a big aha because you've parroted back to them what they just said. Even if it seems mundane to you, try to keep your judgment away. You know, I'll tell you, one of my classic stories is when I reflected back to a client. This was actually a student in a class once. You might have been there, Dorothy. I don't remember. This was a Milwaukee class. This was a long time ago. This was a student who said, yeah, and I never brush my teeth. And I almost wanted to laugh because I thought it was such a kind of a ridiculous, I thought it was such a, but when I reflect, oh, and you never brush your teeth, she said, yeah, I'm so embarrassed and I have so much shame to say that, but I have so much trauma in my mouth and with my teeth. And I hate brushing my teeth because it opened up this whole thing. And she said it as an offhanded comment. And I almost didn't reflect it back because I thought, okay, well, that's not important. Right? That was my judgment coming in. Do you see? Do not judge. Keep your judge out of the room. Just be a parrot. Be a tape recorder. And I'll tell you one other thing that's important about this is that I've learned that when you are in a session and that client signs up for a session with you, everything that comes up in that session, nothing is arbitrary because it's a session and their psyche on some conscious or subconscious level knows something important could really happen here. And their subconscious, the minute they've made their appointment with you, their subconscious is already in process. They are already in process. Okay, so will you trust me now? Just repeat back. Okay, repeat back. Okay. You did some nice reflecting of gestures, some hand gestures and movements. Great reflection. Oh, you're smiling. At one point, you reflected back that she was smiling and laughing. One of the things that I felt that I want to bring your attention to more, especially you love pattern people, right? And you, Janet, with that love merging pattern people, is pointing out you want everything to be nice and happy and loving and sweet, right? But what we really want to do is we need to highlight both. We need to also find out and reflect back the pain. So you kind of left out, you know, a number of times this client was talking about, oh, my family's over there. My mother's over there. And she did these gestures, these sweeping gestures. Did any of you catch that with her hands? My mother's over there. I don't like going to the oncologist was over there. All these things were over there. They were outside of her energy field. I found that very interesting. So again, we can, oh, when you talked about the oncologist, you did this. Your hands went over there. What's it like over there? All you got to do is reflect. What's it like over there? So yes, we want to highlight resilience, but we also want to not negate the pain. We don't want to leave out the pain. Right. So in my bubble, she was talking about in my bubble is a really happy place. Right. But what's over there? So we got to address both. Mm-hmm. Got it. Are you guys seeing that?
I didn't want to go over there. I was so in pattern at that point. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm with you. Leave it over there. Let's go back to the bubble.
Right. Yeah. So I love that you caught yourself with that. Yeah. So it's really important, right? Because we can't negate, right? And that was I love that you're able to identify, I didn't want to go over there. And so it's really important that we know, there's the paradox, right? In my bubble, it's nice. Over there, it's not so nice. So we had to invite that awareness over there too, to the over there too. I also noticed that she switched. I think you and I might have talked about this, that you might have noticed this too, that whenever she talked about family members, she switched from I language to you language. Mm-hmm. Right? Remember that we switch from I language to you language when we don't want to feel something. So whenever we notice that, you as the healer practitioner, you want to get super curious about that. What are they distancing themselves from feeling? Okay. Let's see if there's anything else. You know, it was interesting that, you know, a lot of your questions, and Janet and I talked about this too, were leading questions. Like, you know, and you brought in a lot of your own language. And we really don't have to. We really can stay with the client's language. You were asking, is the box getting bigger? Okay, that was your, right? You're like, so, and she was being a good compliant client. Well, yeah, maybe it is, you know, so. So we'll never know for her, right, if we lead, what's really true for her. I think you're going to get a lot of mileage out of switching to what questions. I think that's going to be a real easy flip for you, Janet, to implement in the next sessions going forward. And don't forget to summarize as best you can the whole session. And I kind of think you did at one point. At the end, we might want to do it again. I think you caught yourself with it. It was a little too abstract. She had a hard time with it too, asking this question at the very end of the session about images and, you know, that. But I'm sorry, back to the segment that you all watched. I think that's pretty much it. Just summarizing the session. And then it can be really helpful for people also to ask them, you know, at the beginning of a session, how are you feeling right now? And then remind them at the end what they said in the beginning. And it can be helpful for you, even if they don't feel any different, to just say, okay, you know, we're kind of where we started from. And let's just notice that too. And it's not you did a bad job if they didn't feel any shift. It's just, again, a helpful reflection for them. Okay. Anything that you want to say before we move on, Janet, to Lynn Rose?
I just want to say I'm anxious for the next session because I know it's going to be so much easier. I worked so hard and I have so many pointers now that have refreshed. It was just that period of time was almost too much distance from our classwork to do any session. It got a little cold in my mind, even though I reviewed it. So now I'm ready.
Great.
I'm ready to start. I'm ready to work now. So thank you.
You're welcome. Any questions about Janet's session before we move on? Yes, Louisa.
My question is, when you said to switch from the I language to you language, because you felt the client was distancing from the feeling. So what would be a good question to bring them back to I?
I think you can just encourage them. I don't know that you would need to ask a question. What you can do is just say, would you try repeating what you just said, but go to I language?
Oh, so we can be direct to ask, go to I language.
Wait. Yeah, I mean, you guys have heard me do that with you a million times, right? So you can
just... Yeah, but I thought you were just teaching us to stay on I.
I am. But you can also teach your client the same thing. And you don't have to tell them, hey, it's because you're distancing yourself from the feeling. You can say, you can just offer it as a suggestion. Would you try repeating that? But let's change it to I language. And then after they do and you repeat it back, how was it that time? What was it like that time when you switched to I language?
Okay.
And if they say, oh, no, exactly the same. Okay, that's fine. It was exactly the same. You're not a failure if they don't have a big, like, you know, epiphany. You're just continuing to reflect. Okay? Any other questions on Janet's session? Okay. Let's go to Lynn's session. Lynn, share with us. How was that for you?
Well, it was a little challenging, especially doing it on Zoom, because I didn't have the gallery mode. I had the other, so it was going back and forth. So it was really hard to focus on, you know, because there was a lag time between looking at each other. So that kind of interfered a little bit with, you know, that first connection. I did breathe with her. You couldn't really tell it with the video, though. But, I mean, we did talk a little bit before I started recording. But, and the reason some people didn't get a Zoom link instead of a YouTube is that because for some reason, my Zoom won't store much and I have to delete my files. And so when you have a Zoom, it goes away. So that's why I put it in the YouTube. So that's why
okay.
I found it. I went into my typical mode and I'm an interrogator. So I ask a lot of leading questions and that came out. I kind of misinterpreted under session one where it said review basic client history. So I was trying to gather facts for this first appointment more than anything else. And then I was going to try and go deeper in the but I see that you meant, you know, centering it around the complaint. And her complaints were the same issues that I'm dealing with. So they charged me, you know, the self-esteem issues. So I kind of missed a lot of it because I was there too with her.
Mm-hmm. And,
but leading questions I know are a big thing with me instead of being just the reflector. And so I have a hard time with the reflection, obviously, and summarizing. But
I think, well, when I watched you in class, I think you actually did reflecting and summarizing quite well. So I think it's just remembering, you know, to do that. You know, like Janet was saying too, we've been away from the work for a few weeks. So I think you're going to find it much easier in your next session to do that. And again, it's bringing to your healer, your therapist, whoever you or your energy healer, whoever you're going to work with, what shows up for you when you run to the intellectualizing, right? That's one of our defensive modes. You can maybe take a little bit of a look-see at that. And remember, again, pause anytime you need to. Close your eyes. Because I loved the grounding that you did in the beginning, and I did see you breathing with her. I remember I had a teacher say to me once, and it was so helpful, get in the soup with your client. You don't have to be outside of the soup. This is not for you now, Janet. You stay on the outside of the bubble, on the edge of the bubble. But for Lynn Rose, the opposite is true for you. You get to get in the soup with them. And you get to, and you can tell them, hey, I'm right here with you. I'm getting in here with you. Let's breathe together. And let her really, you know, because you have this very sweet, compassionate heart. And, you know, what I notice with you is it's almost like when you are listening, it's almost like you go into that, like your heart will open and you're present. And then when you go into what you called interrogating mode, right, it's like, okay, I have to shut that off now and go into the questions and get the history. So let's find a way to slow you down and relax and trust that it's enough. Just your reflecting is enough. Be in some awkward silences and pauses with her or with your client, whoever they are. and slow it down.
I think I was content so that I could really see where I needed to go to focus on.
She gave you a ton of content. She gave you tons of content right from the get-go. If you repeat it back, you'll hear the content too. So that's there's something underneath that for you, right? Around wait a minute, it's not enough, right? It's not enough content.
That's
so yeah. So I want to challenge you on that. So for example, I think pretty much right at the beginning, she said, "I'm not good enough." All you got to do is say, "Tell me more about not good enough. What's that like to feel not good enough?" Just bring in the what. What's that like? What's that like? Not good enough. And then when she answers, give a pause. And you repeat back, give another pause. So you're going to feel uncomfortable probably by doing that, Lynn Rose, is my prediction for you. See if you can tolerate the discomfort of that for a while. Remember, she's getting this for free.
Well, I think I was trying to, and I should have just stayed with where she was right now, and I was trying to take her back to a place where she had that feeling instead of just
yeah. Yes, that's right. And the power is in the present moment, not in the history. The power is in the present moment, not in the history. Can you all say that after me? The power is in the present moment, not in the history. That's why they're coming to you, because they're not happy with their present moment. I don't care what happened in their history. Their history is going to come up. That's fine, because it keeps them from being in the present moment. But we want to stay focused on the present moment. She will tell you everything she needs to tell you to help her with her present moment time that'll show up from the history.
And then just catching up on her cues and contrasts and things that I miss.
Yeah. Yeah. When she laughed ha 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 about mom and dad. She said something really serious and she laughed. It's like, wow, you just laughed when you made that comment about mom and dad, blah, 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 whatever that comment was. Just give her that reflection. Just give her that reflection.
I think it's because that's what I do, and I just didn't think that is a big deal.
Yeah, right. So there's the judgment, right, that comes in. Like, I didn't think it was a big deal about brushing teeth either, right? Turned out it was a very big deal.
Yeah. And I was over-relating to her in that way.
Yeah, yeah. I love that you caught that for yourself. You guys hearing this? Is this landing, making sense? It's going to really make you know what to watch out for. Okay. Yeah. When you said, I want what I want you to do is feel it. It's like, okay, that was your agenda. We're going to keep your agenda out. Okay.
You want to say?
Okay. When she talked about that story about calling in sick and to go and play and she had a big smile on her face, and clearly these are the kind of stories when they show up, they're really important stories. We don't remember them so vividly unless they're important. For some reason, that story is still very alive in her today. Okay. So these are the kinds of stories where you can point out the paradox. Well, you talked about, you know, calling in sick and feeling really bad about it. And when you told me that, you had a big old smile on your face. Tell me about that smile on your face. We want to be more interested in what's showing up in present time. What showed up in present time is the smile on her face. Make sense?
Yes.
I'm throwing a lot at you guys. You won't get it all. That's okay. But just grok as much as you can. Okay. And I think that's pretty much the main stuff. Just remember to summarize. Again, don't worry if you do a lousy summary, all of you. Doesn't matter. They will still get something from however much you summarize. And summarize focusing, bring in at least one positive thing in your summary about them and about their process. And that's it. So any questions for anything you want to say, Lynn, just about that before we open it up for questions?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you so much for your courage and your honesty and you still made a lovely connection. I think you really piqued her curiosity. And I think that, you know, even though you gave her a barrage of questions, I think you made her think. And I think this is a woman who doesn't think about her stuff. And I think that she got to go away with that. So there's still some very positive outcomes that came from that session, I felt. Okay.
She lives in her head like I do, so I know.
So it's so interesting how we always get the perfect client for, the, you know, we always get our stuff somehow shows up with our clients. Okay, questions for Lynn Rose or about Lynn Rose's session, anything? Okay. So questions about anybody's clients? Anybody got, now let's just open it up for a little Q&A on what's showing up in your practice. Yes, Lynn.
So a couple of things. One, I want to thank both Janet and Lynn Rose because I tend to be one of those people who goes last because I watch everybody else and see what they do so I can do it perfectly. And there is no perfect. There's just the way we're doing it. And I just have felt really comfortable looking where I can put my name in and not worry about being last. So I wanted to throw that out there and thank you. And hopefully everybody else will feel comfortable just doing it. you said before, you really can't do this wrong. I take great comfort in that. So I have a question about somebody that I had to quickly create. On my website, it's all bodily, physical, body related. I had nothing on there to work with people. And I had a woman contact me. So on the spur of the moment on Monday, I did a new moon thing. And this woman said, I just love the way you talk. Can I work with you on this? And I'm like, I have nothing for this. So I'd like quickly set it up. But, so she does not like to do it on Zoom. We have to do it on the phone. She does not want to be recorded. And I respect that. And one of the things I reflected back to her is that, and she pays me, she'll mail me a check. But I reflected back to her. I appreciate that she's sharing with me what it is she wants. And then she shared with me, she's never been able to do that before. So that helped me to see her better and that the relevance of the reflecting that you've been teaching throughout here. And it just in everything, I am so grateful, so completely grateful for being in this community and hearing. So thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Okay, any client questions, tough cases or client questions? Yeah, Louisa.
No, my question is maybe clarification or maybe that now I'm getting a different understanding. Before today's meeting, I thought that each weekly session needed to be continuation of the previous one. But apparently That is not the case. Each time is how you're feeling, and it's whatever it comes up on that day. Is that correct?
Well, it may be. I mean, I think that there are themes that are going to arise, right? Because that's the issue we're working on, right? We're working on certain issues that, okay, you know, that show up in our life. Wherever we have an issue in our life, it's everywhere in our life. It's not just in one place, right? So whatever I'm working on, it's across the boards. It might be especially highlighted in a particular situation or with a particular person. But let's say if I have an issue with boundaries, it's going to be everywhere I'm going to have an issue. It might show up more obviously with, say, my lover or my significant other or my child. It might show up more there than it would with clients, but it'll be there with clients too if I have an issue with boundaries. So it's going to be a little of both, a little mix of both.
But whoever sets what we will discuss will be the client then.
Yes.
We just get started and see what comes up.
Yes.
It's not me planning, okay, today we're going to go into this or today.
Yes. Okay. Correct. I mean, the questions that Lynn Rose was referring to and drawing from are questions that you can use if you feel stuck with a client. If they're a little bit wishy-washy, well, I don't really know what I want to work on, then, you know, then you can refer to some of those questions. They might be helpful. Or just get a little history from them that might be helpful. I probably gave you guys more information than what you needed. That's part of my stuff, right? My not enough stuff.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Rosie.
So this is just something I've been thinking about. My client seems to, and she's really afraid to go into some areas. And so we're kind of working with that. But I get the feeling that, this is just me. She hasn't said anything other than just some of the, I don't know. It's just something that I think is a possibility maybe after another session or two. But I feel like even if it doesn't happen, what happens if they bail, say after session 4 or something? Do we start over or with someone else or what happens then?
Yeah. If a client bails and that's happened, then yes, you might need to start over. You might reach out to them and ask them, hey, you've got 2 more sessions with me. Would you like to complete? Did something come up? Can we talk about it? You know, you can do a reach out to them, which I would encourage first. But I love that you're already sensitive to, like, you're placing a check mark, what I call placing a check mark, next to the fact that she's got some delicate territory that may be really challenging for her to go toward, and that it might take a few sessions before she or you invite her in or she invites you into those areas. So right. I think, yeah, proceeding with caution. Sometimes it takes way more than 6 sessions before somebody really wants to go deeper into trauma or history or, you know, tender sensitive areas.
And so that it's, I should, right? I mean, when we're nearing that, and I can, I mean, it's almost physical when she kind of goes into this weird position or something. Should I just, you know, pause, of course, and all that, but, you know, with time or maybe following session, do I try and maybe get back to that place, or do I just, if she doesn't, you know, seeing the way she, her physical response,
That's a great question. I mean, if she's giving you a lot of physical cues like that, I would just really reflect them back and go, wow, you know, when you rounded over like this and you curled up like this, and in this book, Jacqueline Small talks about appropriate self-disclosure. Here's where you could say, when I look at you do that, it feels really tender to me, or really vulnerable to me, or really delicate to me, right? You're talking about I language there. How I experience you when you do this, what's it like for you? What, it looks really tender to me. That would be
I asked for something similar to that, not quite in that language, but she was crying, and she just says that she feels like she's protecting herself, or this is her protection or something. And so we asked a little about that, and then she just, it was a cry fest. So, yeah. I mean, kind of thought she needed to breathe a little bit.
Oh, yeah, she probably did. And I think you're right on that too, right? So if she gets too flooded with emotions, then you bring in your three-step trauma response, right? Recovery, help her get grounded, help her stop and notice that she's safe, stop and see, sigh and smile, step and tap, right? Bring her back into that to balance that. Don't let her get too looping in emotion, right? So it's great that she's able to connect to that emotion already, but if it's too much from your perspective, it's not healthy, then bring her back into that recovery. Help her balance and integrate that. Remember that just giving her the space to talk about it, to be open with you, is super healing. We don't have to know the stories. You know, I mean, there's always that tantalized part of us that wants to know, ooh, tell me the gory details. What really happened to you? I want to know, right? Forget it. Forget it. You got to let go of any attachment to ever knowing the outcome of any or the history of anybody's story. It doesn't matter. What matters is that they have a healing opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah, great question. So if there are no more questions at this point, I was thinking I could do a little demo just to as a refresh. Does that sound like it would be helpful for people? What I was thinking I would do, I would offer it in one of two ways. I'm happy to do a demo on any of you, or if you want to bring me a challenging client situation and role play and be that client, and I'll work with you that way, we could also do that. Yeah, Tony.
Unfortunately, before you get started, I want to be rude. I'm going to have to leave because we had the baby reveal, and I don't want to miss the reveal part.
Okay.
Thank you all so very much. I listened to
you. Thank you, Tony.
It's been an honor. It's just amazing.
Okay. Bye, Tony. Thank you, too.
Thank you.
Does anybody want to be a volunteer or have a client case that they want to role play out?
I can be a volunteer if you want to.
Okay.
Sure. Raids or something, if you want to tell me what to do, or if you want me to just go with it, whichever.
Whatever issue you want to work with.
Okay, for me, my real issues. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, I guess going back to working with energy boundaries, me, not me, I'd like to continue working through some energy boundaries I've worked on. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Thank you for that. So you want to work on energy boundaries around me and not me, and you want to continue to work on that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. What are you feeling, Michelle, as you talk about me, not me, and energy boundaries?
I actually feel a little warm right now, like there's energy running around here. I feel... I feel it in my belly area, which you can't see on screen, but you know, below my rib cage on the front. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you feel energy running around. Even the minute you start talking about me, not me, and energy boundaries, you feel it in your belly. You got warm.
That's right.
And you got a smile on your face when you said that, too.
Hmm. Okay. Wow. Yeah, I did.
What makes you smile about it? You're smiling again. What brings the smile?
Honestly, I'm being the client who doesn't say anything. so I'm smiling about it. What does make me smile? Hearing energy running around. Maybe the image of that, just like there's little comets flying around of different energy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's it like to have comets flying around of different energy? And Say more about the different energy flying around.
Yeah, it's almost like I see little, I'd almost call them heads of like snowballs with tails, but of different colors. Uh-huh. And the idea is, I guess, they're coming through. They're not necessarily mine, my comets going around.
Uh-huh.
But I'm aware of them right now.
Okay. So these comets that are flying through, they're not necessarily yours, but you're aware of them and they're sort of flying through. And it's interesting that you started out by saying you wanted to work on boundaries, yes. Right? And now you've kind of got a smile when you talked about little energy comets flying through. Yes. So what made you bring up the energy boundaries? What's the challenge around energy boundaries?
Yeah, it's, I still have where if there's a heavy, I seem to pick up other energy. So there's a situation right now in the office causing a lot of people to have worried discussions. And like when I came away from the office, I just felt so drained, even though I wasn't per se participating in them. Even if I walked down the hall, someone would kind of pull the side and say, so what do you think of all this?
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me realize my I want to go into pattern then of saying, I just don't want to come into the office, which I may do and work remotely. But that feeling of being pulled by unwanted energy is not comfortable.
Uh-huh. So there's a feeling of being pulled by unwanted energy that isn't comfortable and that you're noticing when you're in your office. And there's also these little energy comets that you've talked about that just fly through. And then there's this decision, do I go into the office? Do I work from home? Because when I go into the office, I get kind of pulled.
Yes.
What's going on now? Just kind of hearing me say that back to you.
I feel different about the energy comets. The way they feel more light and going around versus when I'm talking about specifically the office energy, a more pulling energy.
Uh-huh.
So hearing that back, I guess it made me feel the difference of how I visualize or experience different energies.
Uh-huh. So there's a way that you're noticing or, as you said, realizing the way you experience different energies. Mm-hmm. Can you say more about that?
The idea of comets that have light colors that go through, and they, the way I was seeing them, they're coming across but not into me. But when I talk about the energy going on right now with a certain situation in the office, it feels like it's attaching and pulling. So
yeah.
That's the.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that distinction you made, right? So between when you're in the office and noticing it attaching, and then every time you talk about the comets and the energy flying through, you get a smile on your face. And yeah. that feels lighter to you and much better to you?
Yeah. Reflecting on those comments, they feel like they could be uplifting comments, or it's okay to get, like when a wind sweeps by, something energizing or refreshing.
Uh-huh.
Has a lighter energy.
Yeah.
Versus energy I'm trying to kind of navigate like landmines or something. Oh gosh, here we go.
Yeah. Wow. It sounds like you came up with a really nice option for yourself there. Like you could actually navigate this like comets flying through rather than landmines.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I go ahead.
For me, it doesn't feel like I have what I'm expressing now isn't that to me it's, oh, any energy at this point. I can see it as a comet. To me, some energy feels more like the comet.
Ah.
Other energy feels like I'm going to have that attachment, attaching, pulling energy. Mm-hmm. And that energy I have to navigate. like when.
Okay, so when it's attaching pulling energy and you kind of did this here, then that's the energy that you have to navigate, which is different from the energy that's like comets flying through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would enable you to navigate the attaching pulling energy?
Short of not going, avoiding the energy physically, being in a different place, if I were in the same place. Maybe trying to put out more the comet-like energy. Yeah, I guess more put out energy versus dreading the energy.
Mm. So it would be more about putting out comet-like energy as opposed to dreading the attack energy.
Right, the attaching
energy. The attaching energy, yeah. Yeah, yes. What are you feeling as you say that?
The words that came to mind is sound true. The word sound true.
Okay.
Where am I feeling it? Oh, go ahead. Yeah. I feel some movement in my solar plexus. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go open. It kind of just feels like it's having a discussion. Mm-hmm. This is mm-hmm.
where to go with it. A little discussion going on in the solar plexus. Okay. So I'd love to stop here if that's okay with you. And I'm going to summarize, though, just as much what we did so far here. So we started out by talking about the me-you boundaries, right, that you were feeling challenged by me-you boundaries, and that sometimes it feels like energy flying through, and especially when you're at the especially at the office, but other places too that you're aware of, that there's sometimes it feels like energy flying through and sometimes it feels like it's attaching to you and pulling at you. And that there's a situation at the office right now where you feel like there's people kind of stopping you in the hall going, well, what do you think and what's going on for you? And there's this decision, gee, do I work at home to avoid that energy? I don't particularly like it. Or do I go there and try to work with it? And then there was this kind of this smile that kept coming up when you would talk about energy flying through. You kind of liked that. But then how do you navigate this attaching energy when it would show up? And then I kind of looked at, you know, what is it, what happens as you feel that that energy? And there was warmth that was coming up and movement in your solar plexus and some feelings that were happening for you. So that's about as far as we got so far. We didn't come to, you know, how was it just to hear me say that much?
Yeah, that sounds good. I noticed by describing it, I put the word comments with energy, which gave me a nice visual.
Yeah, it was a really nice visual for me too. I had a nice visual image of you with your little comments flying around, and that smile kept coming up when you would talk about that.
Yep.
So there's something there. It sounds like that might be useful for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle, for volunteering for that. So just comments on this much so far. Questions? Comments?
Right.
Yeah. Anybody? Was this helpful?
Sitting here going, how am I going to remember all of this? I have like senior moments. I mean, I whether it's I get overwhelmed listening, and I'm going, this is really good stuff I'm hearing, but how do I remember to summarize at the end when you've had this? And I'm going to use a word like a bombardment of information is coming mm-hmm. in, trying to soak in and reflect back. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, so it's a great question, Dorothy, and I get asked that a lot, you know, how do you do it? In actuality, there's something interesting that happens when you really start to just reflect back, even line by line, right? Because that's pretty much what we did just now, right, Michelle and I, just line by line. And you can remember one sentence close enough, right, to reflect back close enough. You'd be surprised how much comes back to you just from having done that. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. But what I would encourage you to do is about after every 5 minutes or so, try reflecting back just up to that point. Like, so you don't have to reflect back a whole hour or even 15 minutes. Just try little chunks at a time and work your way toward that. And all you have to do to with your client is say, let me see if I'm tracking you so far. Let me see if I've got you so far. Is that right? That's a nice way to kind of slowly work your way up to it. Other comments or questions?
Lots of nice what questions.
Yeah. See how easy what questions are?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't have to figure out anything for her. I didn't have to solve her problem for her. I didn't have to tell her how to fix her energy at her office. I don't have to be a brilliant, you know, whatever. Everything is within her. All I have to do is repeat back what I heard her say. Mm-hmm. What else for people? Do we want to do another one of these? Does anybody have another one you want to work with? Doesn't have to be you. It can be a client. Can be a relationship issue. Can be. If this is helpful, we can do another one. Yeah, Kimberly.
I had a challenging client situation that I could use a few minutes of support with, I guess.
Sure.
So I had a client who was so angry at me that it was literally 20 minutes of me holding the phone out here, listening to her yell at me.
Mm.
And I have, when I was working in the corporate world, I was the one that got the worst of the worst client complaints. So I had a lot of experience with that. So I, in the moment, handled it. I felt okay handling the situation in the moment, but, and everything calmed down and I thought we made nice progress. Looking back now, I'm like, wow, I really overcompensated. I'm kind of mad at myself that I didn't defend myself. And I wasn't defensive in the moment. I was just like, oh wow, I did these things wrong. And I'm kind of like writing down when I got past the shock of her version versus my version, which, you know, is like a little bit like, okay, wow. I mean, just in the mode that I was in the corporate world, clients always right, you know, do all of this. And I was feeling pretty good about it. There's these moments that come up of, oh my gosh, I'm terrible. I shouldn't be doing this work. And I was able to be objectively observing that and go, okay, that's there. That's not the truth. It's my wound. But today when you first shared the screen with us and I was like, aha, I think I overcompensated. I gave too much and didn't come back enough with, well, your version doesn't match my version here, but I didn't defend myself there. So I'm just kind of in the space of, should I have defended, meaning kind of come back and say that wasn't my experience? Not saying she was wrong, but how, am I saying that well? I'm not sure if I'm
Yeah, yeah, sure. No, you're perfectly clear. You know, it's really fair to do what I call a continuation of the repair process. Mm-hmm. And to come back with, you know, I was reflecting on our last conversation and I wanted to share with you a few more afterthoughts that I've had.
Oh, that's really good. That's exactly what I need to do.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah. Right. And come back and say, you know, here are some parts that I feel like I was reflecting on what you shared with me in the moment. I was a little taken aback, but I want to, you know, bring up some points that I think might be really important for both of us to name, or at least for me to name. And I'd like to hear how they land with you.
That's beautiful language. Thank you. Yeah. That's exactly what I needed.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, and I was shocked that after this whole thing, and I actually gave her a little refund, and then she's like, okay, so when can we make our next appointment? And I'm like, okay. So that was really interesting.
Well, that says a lot too, doesn't it? That the person still wants to continue to work with you. So whatever that was that they were dumping, right, that they were processing, you know, and my guess is from what you shared, it's probably somebody with the endurer pattern.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Or exactly. Or the aggressive pattern, but, you know, could be either one. But whatever that pattern is for that person, especially if they want to continue on to work with you, then it could be very, very useful for you to come back to them and say, hey, so now that we've done that piece of our dance together, mm-hmm. let's look at the next piece.
Right. Well, and I recognized as we were having this interaction, which was really just her yelling for the first 20 minutes, and then me listening to her, like I really knew that was part of the relationship, right? The healing relationship and container, like this had needed to happen. And I think it was so helpful for her. And now it's like, oh, now I'm looking at me. What did I need to learn from this situation? And like, I'm even like this thinking about, oh, now it's my turn to come back and reflect back to her. And that's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. So it might be helpful to kind of assess what's appropriate to reflect back to her.
Yeah.
Like to really sort out you may need to do some of your own process work around this with somebody mm-hmm. so you can get really clean on what's your part of your wounding, right? And what will enable you to be present for her that she's responsible for in her own repair process, but in her own growth process, in her own healing process. So it's one thing to hold a space for somebody for them to vent, right? But then the next step is to tell them, okay, now that you've done that, there's some appropriate ways that we discharge. And I want us to talk about them so that if something comes up again that I do that really presses your buttons that you get really angry about, that I'm not going to participate in that same way with you, but I would like to invite you to discharge in this particular way, which might look like blah, 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 whatever it would be.
I like that language. I want to write that down. I would like to, how'd you say that? I would like to invite you or would like to?
To invite you to discharge in a healthy in a healthier way for both of us.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. These are tough ones, boy. I tell you, I'm only telling you because I've had the experiences, my same experiences myself. So,
yeah,
running to supervision for it. It's painful when it happens, and I hear that part too.
Yeah, but yet amazing. And if I can stay up here in my objective observer, it's really pretty awesome for both of us.
Yeah.
Right. It is. But now kind of the realization of overcompensating, now moving into, okay, how do I not overcompensate, but how do I do it appropriately? And so it's good for both of us is kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you.
Very
That's
good.
Very helpful.
Good. You're so welcome. So we have about 5 minutes left. So I'd love to just do like a check out. And I just now saw Mary Lynn's comment that she left us because she's not feeling well. So that's too bad. So why don't we just do a brief checkout with everybody? So Valerie, do you want to just start us off? And how was this for you today, our launch class?
This was very helpful. I'm still pretty nervous about this. I don't have a client yet working on that. But I'm very encouraged. Like I said, those two videos, when I saw them, I can do this. And I'm just have to keep having that discussion with myself because I keep wanting to go, I can't believe I'm here doing this again to myself. It's like, I want to overcome these issues. I want to get past this. So this is how I need to do it. This is how I want to do it.
Thanks, Valerie. I'm glad you're still in the water with us. Great. Lynn Rose.
(Clears throat)
Well, I'm always the self-critic more than anything else, but I'm glad I'm out of the way now. I can listen. But we're all going to have this. It's going to happen until we get, you know, a rhythm to it and understand what we're doing. And
yeah. And just remember, already what you've given has value, really does have value for that client. So thanks, Lynn Rose. Dorothy.
It's been a very nice class. I've enjoyed it. And when Kimberly talked about her feelings, and it helped me to recognize my own feelings. And that, and when Michelle talked about the boundaries and the energy of other people and the way they make you feel and dread, I know those. And it helped me put them into a different perspective now, where I can be more of an observer than allowing them to penetrate and make me feel bad when it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned a lot today. I feel
great.
Better.
Thank you. Great. Thanks, Dorothy. Yeah, I love those comments. I love that image. Chris.
Yeah, I learned a lot today as well. And I kind of can't wait to go back and review this recording and take some really good notes. So, yeah, it was great learning so much.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Jill. You're still on mute.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I learned a lot in this class time, and one of the things that has been an ongoing thing that I've been learning with your classes has been a wake-up call for me has been some impatience that I have felt and the process of slowing things down in the reflection. And you said something today about, you know, how when you create, when you have that pause, or, you know, things are slowing down, or, you know, little things going on in the brain, you know, of that client, and maybe yourself too, of as a part of the slowing down process, the unwinding. And so that's something that I'm learning about, I think, just by observing and participating in this course. And I see it as a, 'cause I've had two feelings, one of resistance, and this is like going back into the other classes too, resistance and impatience. And so it's good for me to listen to the demos, to hear, you know, everybody else's experience, because I think I'm processing some of that.
Yeah, great. Thank you. And thanks for highlighting that point about, you know, yes, it's super important. There is a kind of rhythm that allows the brain waves to go into a healing mode, a healing frequency. It's like the Earth's frequency is 7.8 hertz, right? So there is a frequency level that we're trying to create. That's why we have to slow it down. We've got to slow the process down. So that, and not everybody has a natural rhythm to that kind of frequency. Like Dorothy, you have it in a very lovely, natural way. That's this very even kind of calming. We can feel it when Lynn, you have that very even, calming kind of rhythm and pattern. So we have to learn how to regulate our field frequency to that so that we create that healing field for our clients. So thanks, Jill, for that. Rosie.
You know, when everything was great over there, but I want to just make a comment on what Val said. After the second meeting with the client, there was a lot of that well, mine didn't look like comments or anything. I don't think I would ever, but there was a lot of like this. I kept thinking of the healer's prep and then the way you finish it. And I did it and I did it again and again. And I'm like, I'm still feeling this. So I just sat in quiet for a while to just get rid of that and, you know, not let it affect me. But, you know, it was maybe a couple of hours after she left. I just felt like whoosh, really maybe an airhead, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. But I could tell that it was not so much about me. I think I was still really into that feeling and was able to dispel it that way after a while and, you know, do my own form of, you know, prayer and whatever. And but when she was saying that, I was thinking about that and I said, boy, it would be nice if I could see those beautiful, colorful comments and stuff. But you know, that's just making it light. There was a feeling of almost feeling off balance or something. I don't know if that makes
sense.
Yeah,
it does. I love that you were so aware of her energy and your energy and kind of taking it on a bit. And there can, when we're empathic like that, it's a practice, right? How do I hold my energy boundary, my energy bubble when I sit with another person? A couple of people remarked about that challenge today, right? So how do I hold and stay within myself and not take them? Janet was talking about that also, not take them in or take them on, and yet still be compassionate and connected. And so that, and I love that you did the healer's clearing to help remove that you did some prayer to help release that. So when you go enter the session next time, see if you can monitor yourself a bit to see, am I merging? Do I need to just, sometimes I'll just like literally sit back in my chair, lean back in my chair to just create that centeredness in myself and a little bit of an energy boundary. I don't have to take them in or take them on to have love and compassion for my client.
And I thought I was doing that okay. And it didn't happen during the session. It was like a couple of hours after. Like I said, I was feeling like, I noticed that it was literally a feeling of being off balance.
Yeah. So that's interesting. You might want to see if it touched up something from your own history, you know, perhaps, I don't know, but I keep being curious about it and paying attention to it. I love your awareness on it. And I love that you noticed it didn't happen during the session too. So it's good. Yeah. Thanks, Rosie. Okay,
thank you.
Okay. Louisa, closing comments.
Well, I think that this has made it more a reality, a possibility, because when I first got the instructions, I thought, wait, this is way over my head. I don't think I can do this. And right now, one of my only questions was, I do have the client. I do have the form already signed, the consent form, but we haven't had the session. It's scheduled for next Wednesday. But the way I'm understanding is this have been done in Zoom. So therefore we don't need to be face to face because I scheduled her to come to the office.
Yeah, you can do it face-to-face if you have a way to videotape it and send it to us. So if you have a way to videotape it and send it to us, the ideal is to have a mirror behind the client so that we see both of you. I have an example of that in my book, the case study of the case of Dawn. If you look at the case of Dawn that's in the Exceptional Practitioner book, you'll see that I've recorded that way.
Okay, we were going to put the camera on the side so we could see
take a look at how I did it if you can, because then we see both of your faces rather than profile. It's a little bit better.
But there's no mirror in the office, and I had scheduled for it to come there. But
I bought a $10 mirror from Woolworths, and I brought it in and I propped it up against a chair. So. But if you can't do it that way, then do it profile. That's fine. But if you can do it that way, it'll be better for all of us. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Louisa.
Thank you.
Janet, let's scooch over to you. Closing remarks. I know we're a little bit over, everybody. Are you okay to stay just a few minutes more while we close out? Okay.
Oh, no, that's okay. In the course of everything, that we have come a long way. Mm-hmm. And it's just very exciting. I'm glad to feel like I'm starting to arrive, that I can actually utilize this and be helpful to someone. So that's yes. my goal, is that I can help someone.
Yeah, good, good, good. Thank you, Janet. Kimberly.
Just feeling really grateful to get to number one, watch you all, because with each one, I'm like, oh, I want to do that like she does. I want to do that like she does. But yet finding my way of doing it. So it's beautiful to have the visual and watch what people are doing. And I'm so grateful just to have a tribe where I can do a little of my own processing. So thank you today, Laura, for that. That was really, really helpful. And I'm so grateful just to have this to support me. I feel like it's exactly what I need to kind of move to the next level in my work, in the work that I'm doing, my own processing for myself, but also to be a better practitioner. So happy to be here. Thank you.
That's great. Great, great. That's great, Kimberly. You know, it's true. We will learn so much just from watching each other. I'm very excited about it too. And everybody has their own unique style and everybody has their own unique gifts, and you're all going to see that from each other. So it's just beautiful. Michelle.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed, similar to what Kimberly was saying, having this tribe. I want to thank Janet and Lynn Rose again for going out there. Yeah, same thing. I was like, wow, that was done so beautifully. And, oh, you know, I can learn here. And so, yeah, I'm just looking forward to keep going.
Okay. Lynn.
I guess I just want to echo what so many here have shared. I'm grateful to be in this community just by the process of immersion and the continual practice. I assume that someday I will feel more confident as I do this, but it's because I'm here. So thank you.
Great. You know, if you all want, I am open to say spending like next week or in the in-between weeks, scheduling like a 20-minute Q&A if it's needed. So if you guys feel that you'd like that, then let me know. Just shoot me an email or something and let me know, and I'll schedule something. But so we'll just keep that in mind if we need something, especially as we are sort of getting launched here in this work. Okay, so let's just do a little transitional closing. So just close your eyes for a minute. Take a deep breath. Letting everything integrate and land in your system and in your body. We got a lot accomplished today. Just feel where you are now as you transition away from the group. And I thank you all again. It was just absolutely lovely to work with all of you. So I look forward to seeing you again soon, and I'll be sending out the replay shortly. And then we'll be in touch with you as we get the technological glitches ironed out. So thanks for your patience, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Big love.
Bye.
Bye.